The hallway outside Supply 3 is empty, but the camera is not blind. The red light stays steady. No one looks up at it. The badge reader chirps quick and quiet, and the door opens like it has done 1,000 times. Inside, the room is tight, stacked with boxed gloves, sterile packs, sealed syringes, and the smell of disinfectant that never leaves your skin. Two staff members slip in fast, shoulder to shoulder, acting like they belong there. The door closes. The latch catches. The camera keeps time. Not romance, not relief. Time. Minutes that will become evidence. A motion alert pings a security cue downtown where nobody feels the pressure of this hospital's night shift. Here, everything is understaffed, everything is rushed, and everyone is tired enough to make one bad decision. Feel harmless. But the hospital does not run on harmless. It runs on records, rules, and consequences. Chapter 1. After Midnight Protocol. The night shift at Westbridge Memorial moved like a machine running low on oil. The lights stayed bright, the floors stayed clean, and the people stayed stretched thin. It was one of those nights where the call bells never stopped, and the break room coffee tasted like it had been brewed 3 times already. Maya Ellis checked the med cart lock twice before rolling it down the corridor. She was a patient care technician, not a nurse, but the shift treated labels like suggestions. Her scrubs were the same color as everyone else's, and her tired eyes blended into the same tired faces. Jordan Price came out of room 12 with a chart in his hand and an irritated look he did not bother to hide. He was a respiratory therapist. He walked like he owned his route. He spoke like the rules were designed for other people. "You skipping your rounds again," Maya said. "Already did them," Jordan replied. He did not slow down. "You're behind." Maya watched him pass. She hated that he could talk like that to her and still sound like it was normal. She hated that part of her listened. Down the hall, the charge nurse, Renee Vaughn, stood at the nurse's station with a clipboard and a pen that clicked like a metronome. Renee saw everything. She was not loud, not friendly, not cruel. She was consistent. In a hospital, consistency was its own kind of threat. Maya handed off a set of vitals and started walking toward the supply corridor. She told herself she was going to restock wipes and gloves like she always did. She told herself she was going to do her job. Jordan caught up beside her as if their paths had been planned. "Supplies low," he said. "We need masks, the good ones." "We always need masks," Maya said. Jordan leaned closer as they walked, just enough that his shoulder brushed her arm. "Not in the main closet," he said. "Supply 3, it's locked, less traffic." Maya kept her eyes forward. The corridor they were entering was quieter, dimmer, and colder. It led to storage, linen carts, and the back stairwell. It was a place patients did not go. It was a place cameras watched for reasons nobody liked to say out loud. "Supply 3 needs badge access," Maya said. Jordan lifted his own badge on the lanyard, "and I have it." "Since when?" Jordan smiled without warmth. "Since someone decided I'm useful." Maya did not ask who. She already knew the answer was always the same in this building. Someone with authority, someone who traded access for loyalty, someone who expected the loyalty to be paid back. They reached the door. White paint, metal handle, black dome camera above it. The camera angled down at a clean slice of hallway, catching the badge reader, the door, and the faces of anyone who passed. Maya felt the camera like a hand on her neck. Jordan tapped his badge. The reader chirped once, green light flashing. The lock clicked. The door opened. It should have been a simple thing. In and out, masks, gloves, done. Instead, Jordan held the door open and waited for her like this was an invitation, not a task. His eyes stayed on her face, calm and expecting. Maya stepped inside. The closet was small and packed tight. Shelves ran from floor to ceiling. Boxes were stacked high, labeled in black marker. Sterile packs, IV tubing, tape, bandage rolls, respirator masks. The door swung closed behind them with a soft thud. The latch caught. The space changed. The air felt heavier. Jordan moved closer than he needed to. He reached past her for a box of masks on the middle shelf, but his hand lingered on the shelf edge beside her shoulder. "You ever notice," he said quietly, "how everything here is about control?" Maya looked at him. "It's a hospital." Jordan's mouth tightened. "Exactly." Maya reached for a pack of wipes, just to do something with her hands. "We should get back out there." Jordan did not step away. "You're always rushing." "You're always pushing," Maya said. Jordan's eyes narrowed, then softened in a way that felt rehearsed. I'm trying to make this shift survivable. Maya let out a short laugh that held no humor. By hiding in closets. He moved closer, not touching, close enough to make her body register him anyway. By taking a minute, he said, by having someone in your corner. Maya stared at him. She could feel how tired she was. She could feel how lonely the work made you, even surrounded by people. She could feel the pull of it, the idea of being seen as more than labor. Jordan saw the hesitation and used it. You work harder than half the staff here, he said. Renee rides you because she can, because you'll take it. Renee rides everyone, Maya said. Jordan shook his head. Not like she rides you. Maya swallowed. She pictured Renee's eyes sharp and flat as she watched people miss steps and cut corners. Renee did not play favorites, but she did track patterns, and Maya's name had been said out loud too many times at that station. Jordan leaned in, voice low. I can help. Maya's chest tightened. Help how? Jordan's smile returned, small and controlled. You scratch my back, I scratch yours. Maya felt the words land like a weight. Not a flirtation, not a joke, a transaction. You're not my supervisor, Maya said. Jordan shrugged. I don't need to be. Maya stepped sideways, creating space. Get the masks, we're done. Jordan looked at her for a long second, then turned and lifted a box off the shelf. He set it on the small counter by the door. Fine, he said. We'll be quick. Maya grabbed two packs and turned toward the door. Her hand went to the latch. It did not move. She tried again, harder. The door stayed shut. Jordan watched her struggle without surprise. Did you lock it? Maya asked. Jordan's voice stayed calm. It locks when it closes. Maya's heart beat faster. Then open it. Jordan stepped forward and tapped his badge to the reader inside the closet. The reader chirped, green light flashing. The lock clicked. The door could open now. Jordan did not open it. He stood there, hands still on the badge, and looked at her like he had all the time in the world. You're stressed, he said. I get it. Maya felt heat rise in her face. Open the door. Jordan tilted his head. Why are you acting like I'm a threat? Because you're holding the door, Maya said. Jordan's smile faded. I'm holding a moment. Maya's voice dropped. You don't get to hold anything with me. Jordan's eyes hardened. You think you have choices here? Maya stared at him. The room felt smaller. The shelves felt closer. The door felt farther away. I do, she said. Jordan exhaled, slow, as if she was disappointing him. Then he turned, grabbed the handle, and pulled it open. Maya moved past him fast, stepping into the hall like she was escaping a room with no air. She did not look at the camera. She could not. Jordan followed her out, casual again, carrying the box like nothing happened. The camera above the door stared down. Its red light stayed steady. It did not care what was in their hearts. It only cared what was in the frame. At the nurse's station, Renee looked up as they returned. Her eyes landed on Jordan, then Maya, then the box. Supply run, Jordan said smoothly. Renee nodded once. Back to your rounds. Maya forced her legs to move. She walked away with the supplies in her arms, trying to make her breathing look normal. Behind her, Jordan's voice followed, low enough that only she could hear. You'll see, he said. Everybody pays for something in this place. Maya kept walking. In the corridor behind them, the black dome camera held the hallway in its view. The red light flickered once, almost like a blink, as the door to Supply 3 clicked shut again. Chapter 2, The Quiet Leverage. The next night shift began the same way they all did. Bright lights, low voices, a board full of names already smudged from updates. Maya arrived 10 minutes early, not because she wanted to, but because being late felt dangerous now. She felt watched before anyone looked at her. Renee stood at the nurse's station, reviewing charts with her pen hovering, not moving. When Maya signed in, Renee's eyes lifted. They held for half a second longer than usual. No accusation, no warmth. Just notice. Jordan arrived right on time, badge swinging, posture loose. He nodded at a few staff members, exchanged a quiet joke with a unit clerk, and moved like he belonged everywhere at once. When his eyes met Maya's, he gave a small nod. Nothing else. That was worse. The shift unfolded under pressure. Two admissions before 1 a.m., a confused patient trying to pull out an IV, a respiratory alarm that turned out to be a kinked line, and nothing more. Maya worked through it all with her head down, hands steady, charting clean. She told herself the closet was over, a mistake, a moment that passed. By 2:15 a.m., she knew that was a lie. Renee called a brief huddle at the station. No raised voice, no drama. Reminder, Renee said, eyes scanning the group. Night shift policy still applies. Restricted areas are restricted. Badge access is tracked. Cameras are active. The words landed like weights. No names, no dates, just enough. Maya felt heat rise in her neck. She did not look at Jordan. She did not need to. After the huddle broke, Jordan found her in the med room, restocking syringes. He did not crowd her this time. He leaned against the counter, arms crossed, watching her reflection in the stainless steel cabinet. "You okay?" he asked. "I'm fine," Maya said. "You look tense." "I'm working." Jordan smiled faintly. "That's what I like about you. Always professional." Maya kept counting. 1, 2, 3. "You hear what Renee said," he continued, "about cameras." "Yes," Maya said. Jordan nodded. "They always remind people when something's about to happen." Maya stopped and turned to him. "What does that mean?" Jordan shrugged. "Means somebody upstairs is paying attention." Her pulse picked up. "Why are you telling me this?" Jordan pushed off the counter and stepped closer. "Not too close. Careful, because you and I were in that closet," he said quietly. "Together." Maya felt the room tilt. "You were blocking the door." Jordan held up a hand. "I'm not doing this again." "Good," Maya said, "then don't." Jordan's jaw tightened. "You think if this goes to HR, they'll see it the way you do?" Maya stared at him. "They'll see what happened." Jordan shook his head slowly. "They'll see two staff members in a restricted area without cause, off schedule, door closed." "They'll see you badge me in," Maya said. "They'll see you walk in," Jordan replied. The words hung between them. "You're threatening me," Maya said. Jordan lowered his voice. "I'm warning you." Maya stepped back. "About what?" "About how this place works," Jordan said. "About how things land when people don't protect themselves." Maya felt anger burn through the fear. "Protect yourself how?" Jordan met her eyes. "By staying aligned." Maya laughed once, sharp. "Aligned with you." Jordan's smile returned thin. "Aligned with survival." A call bell rang down the hall. Maya grabbed a chart and moved past him. "Don't talk to me," she said. Jordan watched her go. "You already know that's not how this ends." Over the next few hours, the pressure changed shape. Maya noticed her name circled on the staffing board. She noticed her vitals double-checked without comment. She noticed her charting flagged for clarification twice, both times by Jordan's supervisor, both times over minor wording. By 4 a.m., a rumor had found its way through the unit. Nobody said it out loud, but the looks carried it. Something happened on nights. Something quiet. Something stupid. In the break room, two aides stopped talking when Maya walked in. She took her coffee to the sink and dumped it untouched. At 5:10 a.m., Renee called her to the station. "Sit," Renee said. "Maya said." Renee pulled up a screen on the monitor, not turning it yet. "I'm going to ask you something," she said, "and I need a clean answer." Maya's hands folded in her lap. "Have you been in any restricted supply areas this week outside of task assignment?" Renee asked. Maya felt the moment stretch. This was the line, the one Jordan had been shaping since the door closed. "Yes," Maya said once. Renee nodded as if she expected it. "With who?" "With Jordan Price," Maya said, "for masks." Renee turned the screen just enough for Maya to see the timestamp. Not the video, just the record. 2:21 a.m., motion detected, supply 3. "Was the door closed?" Renee asked. "Yes," Maya said. "Why?" Maya swallowed. "He closed it." Renee's eyes stayed steady. "Did you ask him to?" "No." "Did you stay?" "Yes." Renee leaned back. "Thank you for answering." Maya's heart pounded. "Am I in trouble?" Renee exhaled. "That depends." "On what?" "On what comes next," Renee said. Maya left the station with her legs shaking. She felt exposed, like the walls had thinned. Jordan caught her near the medication fridge. "You talked," he said. Maya stopped. "I told the truth." Jordan's mouth tightened. "You told your version." "I told what happened," Maya said. Jordan leaned closer, voice low. "You realize how this looks?" Maya's fear sharpened into clarity. "I realize what you're doing." Jordan straightened. "I'm doing my job." "No," Maya said. "You're controlling the fallout." Jordan's eyes flashed. "You think HR cares about feelings?" "I think they care about patterns," Maya said. "And you have one." Jordan laughed under his breath. "You think I haven't been here long enough to know that?" Maya stepped closer this time. "You think I don't know when I'm being boxed in?" Jordan's smile disappeared. "You want to fight this?" I want it documented, Maya said. Jordan's voice dropped. You want to end your career. I want you to stop, Maya said. They stared at each other, the space between them tight and electric. At 6:40 a.m., the unit slowed. Day shift filtered in. The night released its grip. Maya finished her last chart and logged out. Her hands shook as she gathered her things. Her phone buzzed, an email notification from Human Resources. Subject line, meeting required. Jordan stood across the room, watching her read it. His face gave nothing away. Maya lifted her eyes to him. For the first time since the closet, she did not look away. Whatever happened next, it was no longer quiet. Chapter 3. Exposure window. The HR office smelled like stale coffee and disinfectant. No windows. Neutral walls. Two chairs placed the same distance from the table, as if balance could be engineered. Maya sat with her hands folded. She had arrived early. She wanted the room to feel familiar before the pressure started. The door opened at 7:58 a.m. Jordan walked in with a calm that felt practiced. He took the chair across from her without looking at her. A moment later, Denise Carter from Human Resources entered with a thin folder and a tablet. Compliance followed behind her, silent, carrying a badge that did not list a department. Thank you both for coming, Denise said. This is a fact-finding meeting. Maya nodded, Jordan nodded. Denise set the tablet on the table but did not turn it yet. We are reviewing a policy concern involving restricted access and conduct during scheduled hours. She looked at Jordan first. Mr. Price, do you understand why you are here? Yes, Jordan said. There was a misunderstanding during a supply run. Denise turned to Maya. Miss Ellis. Yes, Maya said. Denise folded her hands. Before we proceed, I want to be clear. Allegations and evidence are not the same. We will separate them. Jordan's jaw tightened. Maya felt a small release in her chest. Denise tapped the tablet. On March 12, between 2:20 and 2:30 a.m., motion was detected in Supply 3. Badge access shows Mr. Price authorized entry. Jordan leaned forward slightly. That is correct. Miss Ellis, Denise said, did you have a task assignment for that area? No, Maya said. I was asked to assist. Denise nodded. Was the door closed? Yes. Denise looked at Jordan. Why was the door closed? Jordan took a breath. Habit, to keep the area secure. Once closed, Denise asked, did you immediately exit? Jordan paused. Denise wrote something down. Why not? Jordan glanced at Maya, then back at Denise. We were discussing workflow issues. Maya spoke. That is not accurate. Denise raised a hand. Miss Ellis, you will have time. Jordan's voice sharpened. I am answering the question. Denise held his gaze. So am I. She turned the tablet toward them. The video played without sound. A hallway, a badge swipe, two figures entering, the door closing, time running in the corner of the frame, minutes passing, no exit. Maya watched herself on the screen, smaller than she felt that night. She watched Jordan stand in the doorway inside, blocking it. Denise paused the video. What the footage shows, she said, is duration and location. It does not show intent. She looked at Maya. Miss Ellis, describe what happened once the door closed. Maya's voice stayed steady. He stood between me and the door. He suggested I stay aligned with him. He implied this could affect how I was treated. Jordan spoke fast. I never threatened her. Denise wrote again. Noted. She looked at Jordan. Mr. Price, did you delay exit? Jordan hesitated briefly. Did you control badge access inside the room? Denise asked. Yes, Jordan said. Denise closed the tablet. Thank you. The room felt heavier now. The compliance officer shifted slightly, but said nothing. Denise folded her hands. Here is what we have. Verified restricted access without task assignment. Verified extended presence. Verified control of exit. She turned to Maya. Miss Ellis, there is no evidence you initiated or prolonged the situation. Maya felt her shoulders drop. Denise turned to Jordan. Mr. Price, your badge privileges will be suspended pending review. You will be reassigned off-night shift effective immediately. Jordan's face flushed. This is excessive. Denise's voice stayed calm. This is proportional. Jordan leaned back, anger flashing. She stayed. Denise met his eyes. She exited when access was restored. Silence filled the room. Denise closed the folder. Ms. Ellis, you will receive written documentation of this meeting. No disciplinary action will be taken against you. Maya nodded. Thank you. Jordan stood abruptly. So that's it. For now, Denise said. Jordan left without looking back. Maya stayed seated for a moment after the door closed. Her Her hands were still shaking, but the pressure had changed. It was no longer squeezing. It was releasing. Denise softened her tone. If there is retaliation, report it immediately. I will, Maya said. Outside, the hospital had shifted into day mode. Visitors moved through the halls. The night's tension thinned but did not disappear. On her next night shift, Jordan was gone. The cameras were not. Supply 3 stayed locked. The badge reader chirped for others now. The red light stayed steady. At midnight, Maya passed the door on her rounds. She did not look away this time. The hospital kept moving. The rules stayed written, and the cameras kept watching long after the pressure faded from the people who thought they could control it.